Let's turn for our scripture reading to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. If you are joining with us as a congregation over this past few weeks, the Advent series, we've been looking at various aspects of Christ's ministry. The reason why he came because of our sin. He came to save us. The rejection at his coming, that he was rejected and despised by both leaders and the common people, but he was also embraced, as we saw yesterday, embraced by the shepherds and the wise men, Mary, Elizabeth, and John, and Simeon, and Anna, and also by those today who continue to embrace and believe in him. And our final sermon in this series deals with the advent of Christ and his return, or the future aspect of the coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts chapter 1, at verse 6, and that's found on page 1055. So when they, being the disciples, met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back, in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." And that's as far as reading from the book of Acts this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Advent is a season of waiting. Indeed, the name Advent implies a waiting and a preparation, getting ready for something. And children, if I were to ask you on the way in the door this morning, what were you waiting for? What things are you waiting for when it comes to the Advent season, to the Christmas season? I imagine that you'd say, "Well, I was waiting for today. I was waiting for the presents. I was waiting to finally get in there and see that hidden treasure that's been waiting for me." Or perhaps you're waiting for a Christmas party. You're waiting to get together with the family and friends and to do your family traditions. Or maybe you're just simply waiting for school to be done. There's a lot of things that you're waiting to do. You can't wait for Christmas season, a time of joy and a time of celebration. Well, today is Christmas Day. Our waiting is over, right? No more waiting. Everything we've wanted, everything we've hoped for, everything we've desired has now been received. Our waiting is over. Or is it? Well, one of the things I found interesting this past week when I was studying is that the early church didn't really celebrate Christmas. The early church did not put a huge focus on the arrival of Jesus Christ. They put much more emphasis on his death, resurrection, and return. And indeed, as the book of Revelation ends, the church joins its voice together saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Over the past few weeks, we have seen both the rejection and the acceptance of Jesus Christ, that he needed to come because of his sins. But today we are going to see that Jesus needs to come back. Jesus needs to come back to deal with the last enemy, which is death itself. We're going to look at this theme, that Jesus Christ reminds us to keep on waiting with eager expectation. We as a church are in the age of longing and preparation. This is the age when Christ by his Spirit, we read in Acts, Christ by his Spirit is going forth to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The church is growing and expanding and gathering the sheep from all the corners of this earth. When we gather together at Christmas, we are celebrating the beginning of something, but not the end. Jesus at his birth initiated what will only begin when Christ returns. The proper way to understand Christmas is to draw a link between his first and his second coming. In other words, we serve Jesus no longer in a manger, no longer on the cross, no longer in the tomb, but we celebrate Jesus right now, reigning over all at the right hand of his Father in glory, from where he will soon return. It's also true that in a little bit over a week, as we transition to the month of January, January is known as the month of depression. January is known as a month of, I'll say, lack of luster, because Christmas is past. Christmas is over. Everything we've been setting ourselves up for, everything we've been looking forward to, is now in the rearview mirror. People struggle with this concept. Now what? What am I looking forward to? What am I preparing for? Well, today, I want to give you a hope to get you through January. And that, in fact, get you through the rest of your life. We celebrate not only the first coming, but the return of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to a glorious future. Christmas is not the end, it's only the beginning. So the word Advent speaks for preparation. Preparation before the coming of Christ. Beloved congregation, Advent was not this last week or this last month. Advent is our whole lives until Christ comes back. The church is living in the age of Advent, preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to look at three aspects of his return. That his return will be sudden, his return will be visible, and his return will be glorious. And in drawing these three points, we're going to see the connections and the distinction between the first and second coming. So first off, let's look at his sudden arrival. The first coming of Jesus Christ when he was born in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago. It was a time of great expectation. We looked at that passage that talks about when the time had fully come, when the age was complete, or at just the right time, Paul says, Christ came. When the prophecies had been fulfilled, Christ came. The time and the place were foretold. The time being the age of the Roman expansion, the place being Bethlehem, David's city. In fact, his own lineage, being born of the house and line of David, of the stump of Jesse. And after Jesus Christ was born, we know John the Baptist was sent forth, and one of John's key purposes in his ministry was to prepare the way. He was the one sent before the Lord. That's what we read in our call to worship. He was the one sent before the Lord. Prepare the way. The King is here. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So much of Jesus' ministry was foretold, and there was this preparation taking place. Even when he came, his coming was announced by both prophecy and by angelic messengers. But this preparation will not be found with the coming of Jesus Christ again. There will be no angelic warning. There will be no forerunner like John the Baptist. Christ will return suddenly, coming back to his own, and that will be the end. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says this, his return will be like a thief in the night without warning. It will be like the days of Noah. Remember the days of Noah? The people were eating and drinking, giving in marriage. Life seemed to go on like normal, and suddenly the flood came on them and destroyed them all. The time and seasons are unknown, Matthew 24 says. Suddenly the clouds will roll back. The day of judgment will be here. There will be no time to repent, no time to be baptized, no time to change your life. 1 Thessalonians 5, some will be saying peace and security, but suddenly destruction will come upon them. So the application is, don't sleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't be lulled into the thinking of our world that this life goes on and on. Nothing is going to change because Christ is going to return suddenly. There's not going to be a prelude saying Christ is going to come back in 1 year, or Christ is going to come back in 1 week or 1 month. He's going to come without warning. Our passage says this in Acts 1, verse 7. It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So concerning the return of Jesus Christ, do not expect any warning or preparation, but always be prepared. Always watch and pray, we sing together. Just as the angels appeared suddenly to the shepherds, so the angels will suddenly appear again, filling the skies, proclaiming God's glory in the highest. But that will not be followed by a time to repent and believe. It will be followed by immediate judgment. So the first aspect, there is a difference between Christ's first and second coming, is that his second coming will usher in the end. It will be the completion of this age, but it will also be a visible arrival. When Christ first came, the angels had to say to the shepherds, "Go to Bethlehem and find this child." The wise men followed the star which led them westward. However, when Christ returns, no one is going to miss it. The returning of Christ will not be a secret, quiet, hidden event, not in a hidden room or a remote village in the corner of Judea. Rather, as Revelation 1 verse 7 says, every eye will see him. Or Matthew 28, the sign of the Son will appear in the heavens. Although it is true that when Christ first came, only a few took notice, when Christ comes back, no one will be able to ignore it. His voice will shake the mountains. His trumpet call will pierce flesh and rock. None can disregard his summons. By his power, the line of sight will not hinder his visible arrival. Like lightning flashes from one sky to the other, everyone will see it. Those who have pierced him, those who have rebelled against him, will be filled with utter despair and terror, crying out to the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the coming, from the arrival of this majestic king." When those who have embraced this child, received him, and believed in him will be filled with inexpressible joy and comfort. It will be a historical event and a visible event. The very same man laid in the manger will be the very same one who comes back. That was the comfort that the angels gave the disciples in our chapter in verse 11 here. The angels said to the disciples, "Why do you stand here looking up into the heavens? This very same Christ who is taken away from you will come back." The comfort that God's people have knowing the very same one who was born, suffered, died, buried, rose, and ascended, the very same one who we hope, who we trust, who we believe in, who we receive and trust in, is the same one who will come back on the clouds of glory. He will not be a stranger. He'll not be some unknown judge, not another Savior, but this very same Jesus whom we worship and adore. The reason Christmas is not depressing is because the Christ of Christmas is coming back, and it will be a glorious, a wonderful, marvelous event. The greater Advent will be celebrated, the greatest gift filling us with joy and the beginning of eternal life fully received. So Christ's return will be sudden, without expectation. It will be visible, but it would also be a glorious arrival. The first coming of Jesus Christ was the coming of humility. It was a humble, lowly birth, laid in a manger, rejected and despised by men. We sing the song, infant holy, infant lowly. Philippians 2 says he takes on the form of a servant. There was nothing in his appearance that would draw men to him, no form or figure that was extraordinary. He was simply the carpenter's son. People thought, born of lowly stock, from Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? But when he returns, brother and sister, oh, what a glorious day that will be. Matthew 24, his coming will be in the clouds with power and great glory. Although it is true, and you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, you catch little glimpses of his glory, like when he's transfigured. When he comes back, it will be an unbridled, unhindered, full, supreme glory that will outshine the sun. He will return gloriously arrayed. He will be altogether lovely, the perfect man in glorious form. Once the infant lowly, now the exalted king. He will come back and trample his enemies under his feet. The serpent will be crushed, death will be cast out, and rebels will be smashed like a clay pot is smashed with an iron rod. But those who have received him, those who believed in his name, will be welcomed into his presence. Now we know the Emmanuel prophecies. Maybe you read them with your families this time of year. I read one earlier. Talks about in Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11 talks about the stump coming from, or the shoot coming from the stump of Jesse. But in all these prophecies, particularly in the book of Isaiah, you see there is a component of that prophecy which is not yet fulfilled. When will the knowledge of the Lord fill the earth like the water fills the sea? When will there be that peace? So the lion laying down with the lamb, when the little babe puts his hand into the viper's hole, where there is no death, no destruction, no war. When will these things happen? When will the wicked be cast out and trampled, and the king ruling with righteousness, with a reign of peace and prosperity? When will wars cease, and a kingdom whose government and throne will not end? These things are being accomplished, but they are not yet fully complete. The Emmanuel prophecies, although began when Christ took on flesh, will only be completely fulfilled when Christ comes back. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's what drives us. What fills us as Christians with an enduring hope is not only that Christ came, but that he's coming back. His first coming was to take on our flesh and purchase our salvation, but his return will be to judge the living and the dead, to resurrect his people. When we sing peace on earth, I don't see peace on this earth yet. But one day we will, when the king returns. To conclude, the reason why many people are depressed in the month of January is because they were expecting Christmas to bring what the second advent will bring. They're putting too much stock in a holiday and not enough hope and expectation in Christ's return. The return of the king will bring what our hearts desire. We say this during Christmas time, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Well, sometimes Christmas isn't very merry. And sometimes your new year is not very happy. Sometimes it just isn't. We live in a fallen world. Sin is still here. We struggle with the effects of sin. Death is still an enemy, not yet fully cast out. We live in a fallen world. Our hearts wish, we long for something greater. But these will be attained when Christ comes back, casting death into the bottomless pit and wiping every tear from our eye. Only then will there be no more sorrow and no more pain. That's why we join our voices with the church of all ages praying and saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Yes, we celebrate that Christ has come, but we are always filled with a hunger, a longing for Christ to come back. We are still, although it's Christmas, we are still in the season of Advent. Never forget it. Don't put all your hopes, your joys in a holiday, which is soon to pass. Put your hopes and joys in the coming Christ, who will soon return to his people. Christmas is but the beginning. We are waiting, as Titus 2 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is nothing that should make us more cheerful as Christians than the certain knowledge that Christ is coming back, the hope of his future return. So we rightly sing, O come, Emmanuel. We're not singing for Christ to come back as a babe. We're singing for Christ to come back as the King. O come, Emmanuel. Finish your work, Christ. Fulfill your promises. Make everything right. Fill us with the joy that our hearts long for, making us merry and filling us with a peace as the wisdom, as the knowledge of God fills this earth of his kingdom and his dominion. There will be no end. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we are filled with a thankfulness for the birth of Christ, but also a longing for Christ to come back. We acknowledge, O Lord, that many of the benefits and blessings that Christ has secured are not yet fully seen. So we pray, O Lord, that you would send forth your Son, Jesus, on the clouds of glory, that we might see him in the flesh. That the one who was crucified and died for us might be embraced with our hands. We pray that until then you would fill us with a peace and a patience and a right expectation for the Emmanuel to come. Amen.